Hey Potters, welcome to episode 258 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay!
Happy Lucky Sevens Day, everybody! Yay! Bringing good luck to the world.
Oh I gosh. Manifest. I feel like a dumb butt now, but I've been very tired and very stressed, and I just don't sleep well. I just realized what that meant, because today is 7-7. We're recording on 7-7, however, the episode is going to be releasing on 7-16, so it's going to be a little awkward when you hear that. Sorry.
May this episode bring everybody good luck.
There you go.
On whatever day that they choose to hear it.
I just realized what that meant.
Because, of course, if this is your first time joining us, hi, I'm Amber.
And I'm Valerie. We've been doing this for 10 freaking years. Holy crap.
And indeed, we have a rather extensive archive of podcasts about all things cosplay that, of course, you can head over to our YouTube channel to view.
Go down to the stuff over there in the left-hand corner, and there's all the linkies, and then you're set.
Indeed. And I'm sure that there will be people in the future for whom maybe this is their first episode.
Oh, yeah. We've had a lot of new viewers recently, as I've just been randomly updating and checking things out since we didn't record the last episode live. We kind of had a little bit of a break because we had an interview that was replaced instead. So I've just been going around and doing some small housekeeping things. And I was like, oh, here we are there. Here we are there. Here we are there. We got picked up by a couple more aggregators now. So I'm just like, you type in cosplay podcast, we're like the first three hits in Google, like three pages worth in Google. It's kind of funny.
Well, you know, there's also plenty more people traveling to conventions where there's cosplay recently. And we are a fantastic podcast to take along with you to listen as you are traveling to the convention or from the convention, as the case may be.
And we are very family friendly.
Yes. Every episode except the Halloween episode, which is also called After Dark, is family friendly. That one episode, put on some headphones.
And that's in just giant air quotes, because even in that, we're still pretty clean.
It's relative.
Relative.
To our normal podcast.
Maybe just change the G rating to a PG rating.
Sometimes we have gone all the way up to a PG-13.
Ooh. Scary.
We're more family friendly than the movies, let's put it that way.
We're very much more friendly than the
movies. Nick Cage movies.
Yes. Except for, I would say National Treasure, that's got to be at least PG-13.
Yeah, but that's the most extent we go to. We're more family friendly than all of the other movies.
No, wait. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, that's got to be at least a PG rating. Nick Cage has done a couple that have at least been on the lower end of the spectrum. We got to give him his credit where his credit's due.
That's true.
Someone Google.
We had to get Nick Cage into the episode.
Yeah, that's the rule.
He is the patron of our podcast. He is our mascot.
He is our mascot, and he just doesn't know about it yet. So, Amber, what have you been working on?
Cosplay.
Yeah, what have you been working on? Because I have nothing to provide, and sorry. Like I said, this is going to be the Amber episode, so have fun with Amber today. I am just here to push buttons and make sure things work. That's all.
It's all good. I'm actually going to combine kind of my cosplay update along with the main topic of the show, which is going to be a product review. Ooh. And the reason for that is I have not been working on sewing lately, which for the past few episodes, you guys have seen me working on a vest. And I had told you about all of the virtues of pressing your fabric and making sure that you open your seams.
Press those seams.
Grade your seams and turn your corners and all that good stuff. Yes, the virtues of that are wonderful. However, I took a break from that simply because, one, my table needs to be cleaned again from all of the projects I've been working on. Two, it's been horrifically hot, and I just wasn't in the mood for sewing. So, I went ahead and turned back to my mold making, which, of course, if you guys remember from a couple episodes ago, we had this buddy, which I still have not Dremeled off because hot outside, and because my tool area has been infested by Daddy Longlegs, which I am not fond of. So eventually I still need to Dremel this off. However, the reason I'm showing you this is because I ended up getting a better version.
Nice.
Look how much better.
It's so much cleaner.
It is. In fact, it is completely clean.
That's
all
awesome.
All six sides. No shaving with Dremel needed. How did I do this, you ask? Well, aside from many, many attempts, I ended up getting this little guy.
Ah!
And this, I have not seen carried at Joann's before. So I have a feeling that this may be a new thing or something that they did not previously carry in store, but you could maybe purchase it online. But I saw it in store because I was looking to try again with a silicone-based product instead of the plaster, and I don't even know what the other mold-making material I would call it is. It's almost like alginate, but a little bit more firm.
Was that the one where we couldn't find the ingredients for it?
Yes.
Yeah, we have no idea what it's made out of.
It's the one that's uber soft and basically disintegrates after a week.
It's so weird.
So it's not quite alginate, but it's a little bit stronger, but it works the same way. Anyways, so I wanted to stop having to trash all of the things that I would mold and cast, and to be fair, pay a little bit more money. This is $30 without coupon, and get something that is silicone-based. And the reason that I chose this is because the company, Alumilite, I have heard of before. In fact, back in the days when I used to troll, the Replica Prep Forums, or the RPF, a lot of people would speak very glowingly of Alumilite powder, mm-hmm. which is used to tint resin, and it's also used for various effects, like rust, whenever you are painting an object. And it's very highly spoken of. It's very, very pigmented. It can be a little bit pricey, but you get what you pay for. It's very high quality. And so I looked at this and thought, oh, hey, well, they have mold-making material. So let's try it. I had a coupon, and it was worth about $20. Okay. The instructions in the box are actually really straightforward, which is a very good thing because not all products are simple to use, especially where it comes to products that have a part A and a part B. There are two parts to this, just like resin. A lot of epoxy resins are like this too. You have an A and you have a B, which means you have to mix them together in certain proportions. And of course, you have a little booklet that will happily tell you what proportions you need to mix them in based on different things, like how strong do you need the mold? How much setting time do you need to be able to work with the mold? Because this stuff will harden fairly quickly depending on how it's mixed, and you need enough time to be able to pour it into its shape and let it sit there so that you get the mold that you want and not the mold that you probably deserve for mixing it wrong.
Mm.
So these are very, very simple, very straightforward, easy to read. And in fact, what's even easier is that they have the instructions on the back of the box. That's how straightforward they are. Literally, this is it.
That's
the
great.
Instruction. It's very easy to use. The second pro to using this is that there is no smell. For anyone that has worked with resin or any sort of molding and casting products generally, they're pretty smelly, let's face it. They're very stinky, which is why most of them will tell you that you have to use them outdoors, or at least with a lot of ventilation, say in a garage.
Mm.
And it's because that smell is toxic. That's chemicals.
It's a chemical reaction then when those ingredients combine together.
And so the great thing is that this has no smell.
Wow.
Which means you can use it indoors. Fantastic in the state of Texas when it's 103 degrees outside. And it also comes with mixing cups, and not only mixing cups, but mixing cups that have measurements on them. Because one of the most important things about mixing, and we discussed this a couple episodes ago, with resin, with molding materials, you have to measure it accurately because it is science. It is literally a chemical reaction. And if you have the wrong amount of chemicals on one side or the other, you don't get the end result that you wanted. Your mold may never harden. Your mold may harden really fast before you get a chance to press the shape into it, both of which are not fun and also wastes material. And so to even double check myself, and this is something I advise for all of you guys to do, is to purchase one of these.
Mm.
This is a postal scale. These are very inexpensive. I think this was $5. And in fact, this one is digital. It's not analog. And it measures up to 2 pounds, which is plenty for resin casting. I wouldn't use it for anything where you're doing bulk casting, say for theater. Just, it can't hold that much weight. But you basically put the cup on here, make sure you tear it out, T-A-R-E, tear as in set it to zero, because you don't want to weigh the cup. You want to weigh what goes in the cup.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your measuring cup, set it on the scale, set the scale to zero, and then you pour in the amount of molding material that you need according to the recipe. One of the cons I found for this product is that normally when you mix something like resin, like say here's, I have EasyCast sitting next to me, you can tell that these are of two very different colors. Mm-hmm. This one is golden and this one is mostly clear. It's a little bit opaque. When you mix these together, they turn a different color entirely. They turn green. And that's how you know it's ready. It's mixed just enough and the chemical reaction is starting to take place. Great thing, because that tells me without having to time it or, you know, count a certain number of stirs around the cup. Unfortunately, with the Alumilite, there's no color change at all. So you have no idea whether or not it's really mixed enough to have that chemical reaction. And a big part of that is because anybody that's worked with paint before, like acrylic paint, oils, that sort of thing, when you have one that is white and one that is red, you're supposed to get pink, right? Because that way you know it's mixed together. No, red is so much stronger of a pigment that it just overrides the white entirely, and it's like this was never poured in. So basically it looks like I have a whole cup of this. And so it's really hard to tell that it's ready when you have it mixed. And in fact, it looks exactly like this when you've mixed it. This is dry.
I love it.
But it is exactly that color when you mix it, which looks exactly the same as what's in the bottle.
That's how you know you got a legit one, though, Amber, because a lot of the more higher-end, expensive latex, resin, and all of that, you don't notice the color change. It's just one dominant color.
Right. And they do provide what they call stir sticks in here.
They're popsicle sticks. They're always popsicle sticks.
You can just go get a bag of popsicle sticks for like $2 and have enough for plenty of molds.
Yeah, like a pack of 500. I'm impressed that they included a cup that actually had like the measurements on it, because I have never gotten a single kit that included them, or if they did, they were like the really, really, really bad paper cups.
Yes. My only ask is that these are the size of medicine cups.
Yeah.
30 mil. And I would like them to be about twice this size, because this will make a very small mold. Mm-hmm. One cup for both your part A and part B, this isn't going to hold very much. Especially because the mold that I wanted to make for this, well, this is a fairly sizable object. It's fairly long, and it's a little bit more than 3/4 of an inch thick, I think. So when I ended up making the mold, which this is the mold.
Yay!
You can see how thick that mold is compared to my hand. That is a fairly thick mold because I wanted good, strong walls. So that when I go to demold and make the object come out, that it's not going to crack and it's not going to tear, because that's one of the things silicone can do. You can tear it, and then your mold is pretty much useless, because then all of the casting material will just flow out like water. It's not what you want. So I made sure that I mixed plenty of it. I mixed plenty of material, and I made sure that I mixed it exactly by weight. I followed all the instructions just to make extra sure. I will note that it flows very easily. And I was trying to make two molds in the same box.
Oh.
And I put a little index card in between them. Mostly because I knew that this mold, I was trying to save material. It didn't need to be that wide. This is a pretty slim mold. And I was trying to keep it that way. Well, the box that I was using, which was actually an empty EasyCast box... Thanks, EasyCast. The material was starting to flow out around the sides of the index card because the box warped a little bit. So I was like, great, I have to use up all of this excess mold making material in the other half of the box that I hadn't planned on using. So I ended up taking a few gems that basically look a little bit like this. This is a plaster version. And in my frantic hurry, I actually molded them upside down. Normally when you mold gems, you're supposed to take the flat side, which is the back. This is flat. That side goes against the box, so you mold it just like this. Because the top end of your mold is what the bottom of the gem is touching, and that's what you want. Well, I molded it like this.
Oops.
And that's not necessarily a terrible thing. I did have to cut out the holes in the top because the silicone actually went fully underneath the gem. I still don't know quite how it did that because physics. So I had to take a little X-Acto knife and basically cut out where I would pour the resin in for these molds. But the problem and I will show you this, is that because I mold the gems upside down, there ends up being a little crater in the middle, which I had to fill with hot glue, because the top of the gem is actually like this. It's actually a little U-shape. So it's not a dome. It's more like a little volcano with a crater. And that's what happens when you mold your gems upside down. So I now have to take the Dremel and Dremel it smooth so that it's a dome. And then I can paint over it and use this just like a standard gem, because the resin cured just fine. The other downside, and you won't be able to see this because the camera resolution isn't high enough and this is a clear gem, but I will tell you that when you use silicone, you don't always have to use mold release, mm-hmm. because silicone will not stick to anything except for itself, except in rare cases. However, they said you may wish to use it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did, just to be safe. I didn't want to lose all of this material that I had. And so I used a brand name Vaseline, petroleum jelly, which you can use as mold release. It is a completely valid thing to use.
I've used it.
And so I took the original, which you don't see here, but I took the original one of this, and I put Vaseline on it, made sure it was very nice and smooth, and then I cast it. No problems. The problem wasn't the Vaseline itself. The problem is that the Vaseline left a little bit of a texture on the object. There were little swirls and fingerprints because I used my finger to put it on there.
That's the problem.
Fine. That's how you're supposed to do it. However, silicone is so sensitive that it picks up literally every texture,
mm-hmm.
including Vaseline mold release, and the back of the gem had glue on it.
Yep.
From when I tore it off something. So you can see it actually molded the hot glue trails on the bottom of the gem.
It'll do
That's how sensitive it is. That's, and so actually,
the great part about silicone.
You can't see it, but there are cracks. There's a little crack pattern, almost like a little river running through it.
That is kind of cool, though.
It does. It looks cool. It makes it look actually a little bit more organic.
Yeah.
But what that is that's the pattern of the Vaseline.
Vaseline, yep.
And so that's just something to note whenever you're molding with silicone, is that it's very sensitive to texture. So if you're trying to mold what you want to be a very smooth object, you have to make sure that the object itself is also very, very clean, that if you need to sand it down, that it is very well sanded with fine grit sandpaper. And if you don't have to use mold release, don't. Because that way you don't have this. Now, I'm not complaining about this. This is more of just a warning for anybody else that uses it, because frankly, this is really cool looking. It looks like I have caught lightning in a quartz crystal, which is really awesome. But just warning, heads up for those of you that want to use this product.
I will point out, as the person here who has done way too much mold making in my lifetime, I will say this, when I use Vaseline, I actually only use it not when I'm initially casting the item to make the mold, I only do it when I'm making the copies. So what I will do is I will make sure to use it on the inside of the mold and making sure that I go through and use, like, I usually, not latex gloves, I use a different type of glove, but just kind of help reduce the fingerprints so that way there's no strokes, and just make it sure everything is nice and smooth and even, and that helps prevent some of that from occurring. If you do it while you're making the initial mold, you could end up with what Amber has, and that's okay, because it ends up working really nicely.
Yeah. And, of course, I don't have to use mold release with this from now on, because it will release itself now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do need to clean this out from the excess Vaseline that was left over.
Yes.
From the original item, because otherwise future castings will also have that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have two reusable molds, and I still have about half of each bottle left. So you can see this entire box will probably make about four molds that are about this size, which is still a really good amount. In fact, this mold will probably end up having to be trashed, just because I don't want to have to keep filling in craters of gems. So I'm going to recast with the gems flat in a box. But I'm going to use that as one of my remaining molds from the mold that got destroyed a couple episodes ago with the other resin casting. And that way I can cast some more gems.
All right.
Because it's really handy to be able to make your own custom gems.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a custom color, but a custom size. Because now that I have gems of different sizes that I've cast over time, then I can just make one copy of all of those at the same time. And that's one of the advantages of mold making, is you can put a bunch of objects together and just make one mold. So all in all, this is probably, I'm even more happy with this than the Easy Cast.
Good.
Like, I'm really happy with this purchase. Even if I had to pay full price for this now, I would be okay with that. This is definitely worth $30, because that's about $7 a mold. And that's definitely worth the quality that I get with this. Especially without the smell, since I can use it indoors. It is very, very easy to use. It's very straightforward. It comes with the cups that have measurements on them. You get free popsicle sticks, stir sticks. And it works really, really well. And I've told myself I'm going to reuse this cup as well for when I do my next castings. Because, of course, again, silicone doesn't stick to anything except for itself. So I can just reuse it here. Less waste is always a good thing. So I'm so happy with this. So happy with this. Now I can make copies of it for all the different cosplays where I have to use little crystalline prop type things. Oh, so happy. But yes, that is my product review of Alumalite Mold Maker.
Yay!
And now I'm going to put everything back in the box. So I can use
it again. And this is why it's okay to spend a little bit more money to get a nicer quality product, because sometimes you get better results.
Yeah. And honestly, this was a complete experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's okay to buy a product just for testing
just
and experimentation purposes.
Because you don't know until you try it.
You're not going to know. Exactly. You're not going to know what sort of results you're going to get. I mean, yeah, you can read the reviews online, but not everybody's experience is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just better to try it yourself. And, you know, this, honestly, $30 isn't that bad to be able to try this out.
Especially for a mold making kit. Like, I'm used to seeing that now. So I'm just like, okay, whatever. But that's a pretty good branding company.
So you'll get your money's worth out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be able to use these many, many, many more times than I could have ever used the plaster version or the alginate version.
Exactly.
And when you're trying to mass produce things for cosplay, especially things like gems or jewelry components or things that you need many, 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 many copies of, having the ability to make your own mass molds in the span of a day can really kind of speed that process up of making a cosplay. And it really does only take 24 hours. It was dry even faster than that. I think it was about 2 hours. But they'll tell you to let it sit 24 just to be absolutely sure.
To give it a full cure. Give it the full 24.
And also, if you're going to do any sort of molding and casting, $5 for a scale is well worth your money. This
absolutely.
Is so much more accurate than even the measuring cups.
Because
that way, it's not by volume, it's by weight. And for those who are overseas, it does have metric measurements. It's not just an imperial.
All right.
Yes. So I had a good time molding and casting.
You're learning so much from this. It's nice.
I am. I'm still having occasional failures of the resin.
Sure.
But I suspect that that's out of my control for things like humidity and temperature, which I literally cannot control. Even if I measure it correctly, I still can't control the environment. So it's still, in fact, I had to trash all the gems that I cast previously, the ones that were sticky that I showed you guys.
Yeah.
They never set, and so I had to trash all of them because I just could not salvage them. And I think the environment was the problem.
Yeah. Any type of weird or strange weather, like in our case, it just got way too hot much sooner than normal.
Yeah.
So it's just causing all of that to trash. So I completely understand.
Yeah. Plus, it's been really dry.
Yeah.
And while some dry is good for resin,
okay.
Too dry is not good. Too dry is not really good for any sort of product where you have a chemical reaction anyway.
Yeah, with resin, it needs to have a balance between the heat and the humidity in order for it to sit well.
It'll sometimes tell you on the box like exactly what the temperature range is and exactly what the humidity range is.
Yeah.
For like best use of product. Unfortunately, unless I'm going to on really dry days, start to squirt a squirt bottle in the air like every 2 minutes or so. You know, there's not much I can do about the humidity.
Just kind of have to roll with it, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I'm going to end up having to wait a while before doing my next casting. Molding was okay. Casting, because it's so hot and dry, I'm just going to wait for a while until the temperature comes back down a bit, which unfortunately, this is Texas, it's probably going to be about 2 months before the temperatures start to level out a bit more and a bit of the humidity balance comes back too. So I'll probably end up going back to sewing.
That's just depressing to think about.
At least I can still make molds, though.
So yeah, you can.
Make my gem mold.
You get things prepped.
Yeah. Because it's definitely helpful, especially as I'm sitting here trying to remake Athena. There are a lot of little parts, little embellishments that are all the same shape and size, and it'd be really cool if I didn't have to cut them out of foam, if I could just cast them out of resin.
You could just cast them.
Yeah, if I could just mass produce them, almost like 3D printing, but without all of the problems that come with 3D printing.
Or the cost.
I'm sorry. I know I love 3D printers. I think they're so cool.
They're cool.
And I would probably enjoy having one for a short period of time until it kind of got to me the amount of heat that they produce as you're printing things. And my apartment is already hot enough as is. I don't need more. Not to mention that it's a little less consistent than casting. The prints you get aren't always the same quality. Even if you print literally on the same printer with the same filament, with the same program, all the same settings, you don't always get the same result every time. For whatever reason.
Yeah, if you like move your printer just a little bit, sometimes the weight imbalance could cause it
even
to
if you
off-kilter.
Don't.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just a temperature change in your apartment or a humidity change in your apartment.
Some can be very finicky.
Yeah, the filament that they use is thermoplastic.
Yeah.
It's just like hot glue and resin, and we've all seen Amber's experiments in hot glue and resin and how those can turn out.
Yay.
So I don't really want to mess with it. I will let those who are more experienced and have more money to throw at it just work with it. I had fun, though.
Good.
I always have fun experimenting and learning. And it's a good product, so now I get to recommend it to you guys. And no, they did not sponsor us. Alumilite did not sponsor any part of this.
We have no sponsors.
Nor did Dannon for giving me the yogurt cup, because they didn't. I bought everything with my own money. We don't have any sponsors with the show.
We have no sponsors. We just test things because we want to.
Yeah, I like experimenting, especially if I'm having trouble with products.
Well, anything else for your review, Amber?
Nope. I believe that is everything for me.
Cool.
So, of course, if you would like to let us know what products you've been using lately that you love, feel free to let us know via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
Located underneath Amber. I think she was specifically saying, I can't even speak anymore. This is why I said this is the Amber Show. Val ain't here today. I just push buttons. I make bacon. It's fine. Anyway, I think what Amber is referring to is cosplay-related products. So you can go ahead and poke us at all of these locations, which if you're watching us, they're located right underneath Amber over there in the corner. If you are listening, you can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast.
Or if you would like to let us know what object would best represent Nick Cage if we had something to mold and cast. Perhaps something to make Nick Cage candies. What would best represent him? Feel free to let us know that as well. Our email address, if you prefer to use that over social media, is podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, along with Nick Cage memes.
I still have plenty.
Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying. Please stay safe out there. Keep being safe, please. We've heard stories from other anime conventions that we're about to talk about in the after session. Please stay safe, stay healthy, keep working on those cosplays so that we can all see each other's friendly faces at our favorite local conventions in the near future, ASAP. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next time in episode 259. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.